Our Honest Life is a minimally edited, slice-of-life podcast that may contain vulgar language, adult themes, and sexually graphic content. Thanks for listening.
All right, there.
We're just going straight in. Welcome to this episode of Our Honest Life.
This one's dry and chafy.
Very pasty.
Very pasty. No, dry and chafy. You're going right in, right into the podcast.
Like hey.
Yeah.
Ah, that's distasteful, church.
Sure.
Yeah, so.
You got my joke, eventually.
There was a general progression where you could just hear and see the level of comprehension on my face. And you're like, oh, okay, she's getting it. There, she got it. Well, and now she's reacting.
It was the laugh. That's when I knew. And that other stuff you talked about, I never noticed.
Yeah, so today I want to talk about summer. We got summer coming up. I want to do a topical seasonal podcast.
Topical. Was that a voice you were just doing, or are you just so full of yourself right now? This is what you start to sound like when you want to talk about summer.
I was kind of doing a bit in my head where we were a pretentious NPR style smartass real podcast. We actually had like production value and talking about something that we think is so deep, but it's like you're talking about fucking summer. Come on.
Well, they would start by reading a poem about summer.
Oh, God. And it would be a shitty poem that from a poet no one had ever heard of.
There'd be a sound first. They'd play, like, a really long note. What did my voice just do there?
Ooh, I don't know.
It was like I was doing the Croc Master again. But that was accidental.
Oh, yeah. We should... You got to do that after. But, yeah. They'd have a sound effect. Like a ding. But also, sometimes you'd hear some ambient background noise of children playing in a park.
Then the summer poem would kick in.
Yeah.
Ladybugs on a leaf. Probably something else insightful. Raindrops.
Summer.
Yeah.
it would inevitably, it would just summer. Be like.
Great addition to my poem.
Yeah.
Summer. Yeah, that's the title of it.
And then there'd be silence, and then some dry-voiced woman would come on, and she'd be like, the summertime is upon us once again. And it would continue onward. And it would be exactly that level of excitement throughout the whole podcast. Oh, I love when those gravelly-voiced women kind of have a dry laugh. And it's very self-deprecating. They're like, but everyone knows, that could never happen.
What could never happen?
Yeah.
Sex in a hammock? It can happen. It's just tricky.
It's tricky. Have we ever had sex in a hammock?
Yes.
I'm glad you have an answer. I don't know if I've ever actually been in a hammock.
Yeah.
I've tried to get in one.
No, we spooned in a hammock somewhere. Oh, and it's always at someone else's cabin. We do everything filthy everywhere. And our friends are always like, at least nobody had sex here. And we're like, oh, no.
You left us alone for two minutes. We had sex.
Well, there was that one time where they didn't leave us alone. We were on the top bunk and our friend was sleeping on the lower bunk. And we had sex on the bunk above him.
Yeah.
While he slept.
And we
hopefully.
Were, no.
And then we told everybody.
We were so anyway. Nice. We didn't tell him for several years. And then we were like.
No, we totally told everybody. Did we say?
Maybe I'm thinking of another time.
No, because we were all in the big group. Because this was a trip with us and five other couples.
It was the most stereotypical couples vacation I've ever been on.
And we were all drinking and playing cards the next night, and someone's like, at least nobody's had sex in the cabin yet or anything. And we were like, who's going to be the first? And we're like, well, we already did it.
Yeah. Oh, and then our friend was like, but I was sleeping beneath you. We're like, yeah.
Yeah, you were.
I think we horrified that poor man.
I like how in your mind, you believe we hadn't told him for years to spare him the trauma. We told him the next day.
I have a very bad sense of time and warped by time. I no longer remember things in any semblance of order.
When did that happen, Mercy? Oh, you know, 3 years ago, yesterday.
Mm. That was pretty much it.
Yeah. So summer, what do you want to talk about summer? Sex and summer? Summer sex?
Sex and summer, we've had a lot of summer sex. It wasn't what I wanted to talk about, but no, like summer, there's such an amazing amount of things you could talk about. Like I was jotting down eight ideas.
Do we have more sex in summer or winter?
I think we have more sex in the winter.
Is that out of just, it's so cold around, it's so freaking cold.
It is so cold. We climb into bed. We're idiots. We sleep naked. We don't wear pajamas. And we have... Well, yeah. So we're wearing like a little gaunch.
I roll over on my wiener sometimes if I don't wear underwear, and that really hurts.
You've explained this to me.
Yeah. I call my penis wiener.
Wiener. It's adorable.
Is it?
It's like...
Our listener's like, mm-mm. That's not adorable.
It's the least sexual thing you could call a penis. It's the least sexual penis slang.
So, person listening to this, when I say wiener, are you like, oh, that's adorable. That made me smile. Or are you like, oh my god, I'm turning this off.
That man's talking about his penis.
He's like, he's a juvenile idiot. This is true. You're right. I am, listener.
The term wiener definitely makes me think of a very flaccid penis, but it's warm and relaxed. Where it's like, that's it is kind of like a puffy hot dog.
That's my demeanor, warm and relaxed.
Like a flaccid penis. Oh, isn't it pronounced flaccid? Did we learn that on like season one of Silicon Valley?
Well, I don't think I learned anything from Silicon Valley.
I'm pretty sure I have a distinct memory of Thomas Middleditch yelling flaccid.
Oh, I learned TJ Miller seems to be pretty cool because he quit the show and then he did this article in Vanity Fair just the other day. And it was really very... I don't know. You could see what a genuine person he is. He might not be your cup of tea, but he is very, I don't know, I would say very caring or compassionate in a different way.
Yeah, he seems like a personable, affable guy. I would describe him as being affable seeming.
Yeah, but he also just speaks the truth. It's kind of neat as he sees it. Anyways, check out that article. It's cool.
How weird would it be to be interviewed in Vanity Fair?
I want to start having guests on our podcast, but nobody... important.
Let's just like pick someone famous. Random. If you're on
guy
listening
who works
to this
at
on
like
Twitter,
the you know the canning line at the Coke factory. I want that guy.
Oh, sweet. No, I totally have that guy on, and I would ask them so much about what's it like to work at a bottling plant.
Oh no, I wouldn't ask them that at all. That's just like who wants to talk about their job all the time.
What kind of asshole are you inviting
like
somebody
real,
over?
That's like a proper interview show about thank you for coming on and telling us all about the wonders that it is of the canning plant. No one wants to hear that. Well, maybe you do, but...
That's a different podcast. That is our NPR podcast.
No, I just want that person here so I can ask them, like, you know, what's your favorite horror movie?
Hey, everybody. This is Jim. He works at the Coke bottling plant. He's worked there for 16 years, but we're not going to talk about any of that. Hey, yeah. Jim, what kind of craft brews do you like?
Maybe that's our new angle. We just bring people in and just ask them questions.
Oh, we could call it, hey, how are you doing? And then we could just have a conversation every week.
And now welcome to the part of the show we call, hey, how are you doing?
We could just add that into this podcast.
We could
just start calling people.
I tell you what. We don't have a guest, so it's time for you to pretend to be somebody else. You can be this person.
Yeah, make up a character for me.
No, that's it. You have to make. I'm going to ask you questions. You're going to now answer them.
I'm Jim from the Coke bottling plant?
I don't know. You want to be Jim?
That doesn't bother me.
Do you prefer James or Jim?
I think James is pretty good because it's kind of like James Bond. But Jim is kind of like, hey, it's just Jim.
So, all right. Well, do you prefer James or Jim?
James.
All right. Hi, James.
Hi, Church.
Welcome to Our Honest Life. In this new segment that I forgot what we were going to call it already, whatever, that doesn't matter. What matters is you.
Thanks.
At least right now it matters. Maybe when the show's done it won't matter anymore. Don't think about that too hard.
Is the show always so existential?
Yes.
Okay.
So you work at... The Coke factory.
Yeah, I work at the bottling plant.
What's the last movie you saw?
That's a good one. Do you mean in theater or just the last movie?
The last movie where you gave it your full 100% undivided attention. It doesn't have to be the last in theater. I mean, if you sat home and you shut the lights off, you blocked out all distractions and you gave it your full attention, that would count. What's the last thing you fully absorbed that you would, you know?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Because I watch a lot of movies, but I don't really pay attention to too many of them. But I think the last one I really, really paid attention to was The Force Awakens.
Really? All right, The Force Awakens. Okay.
Like, just thinking back, that one stands out as one I watched repeatedly and spent a good deal of time thinking about.
All right. I've seen that movie. I can relate.
It's good.
I saw it a lot. I saw it too many times. I saw it, like, I think at least 3 times in theater.
Yeah, why'd you see it so many times in the theater?
What? No, I ask the questions here.
Oh.
Come on now, James.
I thought this was just a conversation.
Oh, no.
I'll stop overstepping my bounds as a guest.
Yeah, so aggressive. I don't like that. Be more docile, James. I don't like the way you're looking at me. Look at the wall. You look off center for me. Yes, to the side of me, towards the wall. Thank you. That's better. That's better.
What if I put my head down so I'm making a submissive pose?
Well, could you slouch in your chair a bit too while you're doing it? That would help. It would help.
There. I'm sufficiently cowed.
All right. Where do you think you go when you die?
Oh, I like to think that you just stop existing. There's no more...
Really? Hold on, James. That's what you like to think? You like to think, like, finally, shit, it's over. Yes, that's what I like to imagine happens to me when I die. That's where you're at, James? Holy shit. You look, bleak son of a bitch.
I've been working at the Coke bottling plant for 26 years.
Yeah.
I pray for the sweet release of death.
Right. Right. And why don't you just... or no, that's morbid. That's just... I like to think when I die, you go to... I don't know. Like, I like to think just something good happens. Not something shitty, not nothing. Like, if I have a choice.
Nope. Just lights out.
All right. I guess I phrased that in such a way to sort of trap you there. Yeah. Anyways, and I'm sorry for being so mean to you. You don't deserve that. You seem like a nice person, except when you look at me. Now, let's, you ever see Back to the Future?
No, what's it about?
Never seen it, huh? It's about an old scientist man and this teenager he hangs out with. And how the old scientist man builds a time machine and invites the teenager out in the middle of the night to, film him using it. But then the old scientist has made enemies of some terrorist group that are there to kill him. Anyways, he almost becomes his own father, as best I can tell.
The scientist or the kid?
That might have been an adult movie I saw. Do you like adult movies, James?
I like gladiator movies.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, maybe. We'll just leave that in the ether, though. We won't explore that.
We'll go back to that later, after the mics are off.
So, James, what do you think about summer?
Yeah, I like summer. Get to throw some dogs on the grill, go fishing down at the lake. It's a good time.
You mean hot dogs, right?
Yeah. What did I say?
Well, you just said dogs on the grill.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was worried. I thought I might have said wieners there for a second.
Oh, no, that's my word. I'm taking it back.
Taking back the wiener.
Yeah. Get away from my wiener, James.
Yes, I mean hot dogs. Big, big old brats.
All right, so Summer, you're a fan. All right, well, yes. Thanks for coming on the show. That was the...
Thanks for having me.
Well.
Oh, man. So, my improv skills are... I'm not sure if that's, like, base level or if it's, like, you don't know how to improv at all. Mercy.
Well, I don't know how to improv at all as well. That's quite clear from this whole thing.
Yours turned into some sort of, like, weird performance art piece. I loved it.
Performance art piece? Oh, where I just assumed a persona of being, like, weirder?
But, like, you pushed it, where you were, like, giving me physical instructions. And people listening can't hear, but I was actually following them, because it's funny. And I was just holding in laughter the whole time.
At least I can make somebody laugh. Cats can't laugh. My children laugh. They laugh at my stupidness.
They do. The cats don't laugh at your stupidness.
No.
But,
Oh, man, our cat was so into going to bed last night.
Oh, yeah. That cat, I've never seen a cat happier for someone to be on a bed, and then he slept the entire night, and he didn't even get up after we got up.
Yeah, we went to bed slightly earlier than normal, and the cat, I guess, normally goes up a little bit before us and lays down on our bed. He's almost always there before we get there. We went up earlier at the same time that he did, and man, I went into the room and started to, you know, get undressed to get into bed, and he was so happy, just purring like crazy. He's all excited, standing and staring at me like, yeah, it's sleep time, buddy. We're sleep buddies.
Well, he came in super late. He was hanging out on the back deck all day, and he only came in right before we came upstairs. So he was so excited because not only had he been out all day, but the moment he came in, he got a plate of wet food, and then everyone went to bed.
All right.
And the kitten was locked in the basement because he was tearing shit up. It was like a perfect night for that cat.
So our cat is a fan of summer.
Oh, the cat loves summer.
Just loves to go out.
He walks out of the house. He walks 15 feet down the back step. He stands on our parking pad, and then he just falls over to the side, and he stays in one spot like the whole day. You just walk by, and he's there, and he's just laying completely flat on the sidewalk, just watching everything.
Yeah, he's like a corpse. Well, I'm gonna write a book called The Corpse That Watches You.
Do it. Well, I'm challenging you now.
It's just a title, really. I don't have anything other than a fat cat that lays on the sidewalk in the sun that stares at you. Fat cat lying on a sidewalk.
Did you have any favorite VHS movies that you would rent in the summer when you were a kid?
Like, yeah, Condor Man. And I must have rented Condor Man like 3 times. But that was a lot when I was a kid going to the video store, like being able to like get something over and over. I know at least twice we rented with my dad a VHS tape version of Battlestar Galactica 1980. So not even the original series, that weird like second season 1980 where the Cylons crash land on Earth. Wolfman Jack's in it.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, and they have there's a party on a skyscraper, and they damage the robot Cylon, and the robot Cylon carries his leader Cylon and walks right off the building. They fall to their demise and get crushed in a garbage truck. The same way the Shredder went.
Oh, and didn't some of the crew from the Galactica meet like tiny children?
Oh, there's always tiny children. And the show is awful.
The kids were like playing baseball or something stupid.
There is a baseball team.
Because they got separated. And some of them were following one lead, and the other one, they met up with the kids, and the kids were showing them around.
Anyways, I rented that.
Yeah.
Let's not go too deep down that rabbit hole.
Did you rent any horror movies?
Like, House was there... 2. I think we rented House 2 twice. We had satellite TV for a while, and that was exciting because you got HBO back in the day. And that's when I saw, like, Friday the 13th, Part 6, and Big Trouble in Little China. I think I watched, and Spaceballs. I think we watched all those, like, a lot just because of that. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Definitely watched that a lot. Well, Star Wars as well, all the Star Wars films. The Last Starfighter. Yeah, so pretty much our movie collection that we still have today is the same crap I watched as a kid.
We don't have a lot of the stuff that I watched as a kid because I watched, from a certain fairly young age, exclusively nothing but horror movies. And it's not stuff I can really share with the kids or have around right now.
Even before we had kids, though, you were kind of like, when we'd come across, like, when they would upgrade the format, like, you know, hey, here it is on, you know, DVD, and you'd be like, meh.
I didn't want to rebuy a lot of stuff because they're movies that at the time I had just come off of like several years of watching them probably upwards of 12 times a day, if it's possible to watch a movie 12 times a day. But all I would do is I would sit in my room when I was drawing or working on the computer, and I would just put the movie in, and it's VHS, so it would start, run through, and then I would rewind it and then just immediately play it again. The entire day I would cycle through one movie.
Top Gun from the top.
Take 2. It's a beautiful, beautiful music. Not even the soundtrack, the score. Oh. Tim and Eric, you magnificent bastards. In the summer, I think I rented Tales from the Dark Side a lot, all the time.
So why'd you rent a lot of horror movies?
I was really, really scared of horror movies as a little kid, like super terrified. My brother and sister had the old Michael Jackson, you know, Topps collectible trading cards.
I don't know those.
Oh, yeah. So there were trading cards of just, like, famous singers, and Michael Jackson had, like, sticker card packs for, like, a sticker book.
Moonwalker.
Yeah, so you'd have, like, you'd have pictures from all his videos. They had the one from Thriller where he is the zombie, and I was so scared of this as a little kid that even opening the drawer where it was, that was enough of a threat to get me to leave the house. I could just be walking up to them, and they would open the drawer, and I would just leave. And I would go, like, across the street. But After a certain point, I think it was when I saw maybe Rocky Horror Picture Show, I kind of started liking stuff that was a little bit different. And Night of the Living Dead, the 90s remake, came on one night at like 1:30 in the morning. I was so terrified of it. And then I was like, no, fuck this. I'm going to watch this whole thing. And I left the basement and I watched it upstairs because I was too scared to watch it in the basement of our weird old house. I just got hooked. And ever since then, that was like, you know, 13, 14, it was just all horror movies.
It's all horror all the time.
Yep. I don't watch romance. I don't watch a lot of comedy unless it's like Monty Python. But it was like always horror.
Comedies, but I guess my favorite is, I like adventure. I like, Indiana Jones or Star Wars or Tron or...
Condor Man.
Condor Man. Well, which is just a kid's version of James Bond, right? I mean, that's all he was.
I keep looking at that and thinking I should play it for the kids.
It is a wonderful movie, and of course we should play it for the children. And we'll make them watch it whether they like it or not. On the topic of zombies, today was our son's graduation from kindergarten. And I remember when I graduated from kindergarten, past kindergarten, and come on, you know, all I had to do was show up. We put on a dance thing for our parents. It was Michael Jackson's Thriller at the time. And they dressed all the kids, all of us up as like zombies, which was just like a black, long black shirt. They put like whitish gray makeup on our faces and messed up our hair. And we all had to just stand there at the back. They lined us up in two rows and we kind of just like waddled from one foot to the other with our left and right hands just up at our sides. Just like, but like palms facing outward, not upward or down. Or it was like just side.
You were like pantomime zombies. We were doing jazz hands.
Yeah, there were zombie jazz hands.
We were theater zombies.
You know, 5 and 6 year olds. And on this part, always made me feel weird even back then. There was only one black kid in our whole class, and they made him be Michael Jackson. And I think he didn't want to be.
That's terrible.
On the day of, he did love it. I think he just didn't want to be out in front. He didn't realize where he was. Yeah, he had to stand in front of everyone, and you know, they wanted him to kind of pretend to sing the song. And they gave him a little red jacket.
Aww.
He probably looked adorable.
So cute, but at the same time, it's like, that's a lot of pressure to put on one kid.
In the end, I think he seemed to love it. He was kind of cool.
Well, that's good.
Back then, I'm like, yeah, that guy's cool. It's actually, I think, overall a good memory. It just, that one part always seemed weird.
That's an adorable memory.
Why can't we remember being born?
Oh, it would probably be horrifically traumatic.
Oh, okay.
But I think technically...
no, I was good with that.
Okay. Well, no, okay. Keep going. I don't want to be Buzz Killington over here.
Well, I was with that question. What are you talking about?
No, our brains haven't formed to the point where we're making long-term memories.
Do you exist?
Physically,
are,
yes.
Are you, does self exist without memory if you can't recall?
I don't think so. And it's interesting because a lot of literary devices that talk about AI becoming autonomous or self-aware starts with memory.
But isn't a computer all it's really meant to do, remember things? It just stores data.
But the computer isn't remembering. The computer is storing it and retrieving it like a filing system.
Build me a Mr. Data.
The computer doesn't start opening programs because it has a desire to. Oh, I had such a crush.
I'd fuck it up and make a lore. Anyways.
Oh, God. I was super young when The Next Generation started, and I watched it directly from the beginning. I was such a Trekkie.
We're talking about Star Trek now, by the way.
I wanted to fuck Data so bad.
Oh.
I didn't know. You know,
we know he can. The first season, he
they totally mention it.
Tasha Yar.
Yeah.
They get like all weird, like horny because something happens.
Oh, yeah, and he's...
Man, the 1980s.
He's anatomically correct and fully proficient in several thousand forms of, like, physical pleasure. He says that. I'm pretty sure that's canon.
That's probably the best come-on line imaginable.
I'm anatomically correct. Well, I mean...
No, I'm anatomically... Yeah, and fully functional. Yeah.
Yes.
And educated in thousands of forms of pleasure.
Which is great, because Dr.
Can you not hear, like, Barry White music in the background playing while someone's like, saying that? Like,
horny old Dr. Noonien, who created Data and Lore, was like, these robots fuck.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna make these robots fuck.
He also made them look like himself.
Well, but he was, like, super old.
Well, eventually.
Yeah.
I don't think he was when he made them.
Probably not. It probably takes a long time to make an android.
And he was like, wasn't he over 100? Anyway, yeah. All right, this is way going somewhere strange. I always hated
when they opened up Data's, like, data port on the back of his head, and they would lift that flap up.
Oh, the flap of hair?
The flap of hair.
And you could see his positronic brain or whatever.
God. It's just a bunch of LED, like, wires.
Those shitty Christmas lights blinking away super fast.
They just jammed Christmas lights in his head, and then somebody would always poke it with a brain.
This week. Our listener this week is Brent Spiner.
He would. Yeah. He totally would.
And right now, he's spitting out his popcorn, yelling at us in anger. He's like, it looked good, you fucks. It was LEDs, not Christmas lights.
I'd still fuck Brent Spiner, though. Who am I kidding?
Yeah, but close your mouth while you're eating, Brent. Come on.
That's how you know he's passionate about whatever he's yelling at.
Passion's all well and good, but manners.
Manners.
Don't make me come over there.
That's the name of our new podcast segment. Don't make me come over there.
Don't make me come over there. Well, all right. I think that's it.
I mean, one more thing. Remember when we were out for a late night walk?
Yes.
We saw all those raccoons. Oh. The raccoons saw us.
Yeah. We came across a pack of raccoons in a park in the middle of the night. It's like pitch black out except for this, what would you even call it? What do they call those things?
It's like a freestanding structure.
Yeah, there's a name for it. It's a pavilion or something.
Yeah, pavilion.
Sure.
This is not an architectural podcast.
No.
Definitely not. Yeah, so there's a pavilion and there's like sinks and garbage is there.
Do you think they make a dildo that looks like the Eiffel Tower?
Probably almost certainly, yes.
Hmm. So, yeah, there's a bunch of raccoons sitting on park benches and like picnic tables and going through garbage and pulling it out. And they just, like, stop and stare at us as we walk by.
They all looked at us.
But they sure didn't stop doing what they were doing. It was like they looked at us for a bit, and then they went back to doing their shit. And we just walked by, like, real close to them, and, like, just sort of stopped and stared in awe. And we were really close to them.
I'm pretty sure we walked directly through their group. I think we had to, because they were in the middle of the path, spread out.
Remember that raccoon in Orlando that was up on the rafters and his giant balls?
That was fantastic.
That raccoon had the biggest balls.
The hotel that we stayed at.
And they were shiny. Shiny and black.
Shiny, totally hairless. It looked like old, smooth shoe leather. Yeah. Big, tight shoe leather balls.
Oh, and one was like clearly higher than the other.
It was the hotel we stayed at.
Two large balls.
In Orlando that had a raccoon in the breakfast area. Fantastic. There were anoles, little lizards everywhere, and a colony of feral cats. I love that hotel. That was the best hotel I've ever stayed at. Remember when we were sitting on the veranda at the cabin, and we heard a rustling in the trees, and all of a sudden, the fattest, klutziest raccoon we've ever seen, like, butt scooted down the tree, and it took like 10 minutes for him to get down.
Oh, man.
And he stared at us the whole time.
Before that, though, we were both like really high.
Oh, and we're sitting on the couch, high.
And we saw a deer, and we couldn't tell what it was from like a distance. And then I think there was a fox.
Yeah, that was the night.
And the deer was really close. It was like right by our steps leading into our cabin. And then we're sitting there in just the total darkness, and we're like, we think it's all over, and you hear, like, acorns and stuff falling out of the trees constantly. And all of a sudden, this, like, huge, fat, like, clumsy-looking raccoon, like one of the Three Stooges, but in raccoon form, came down this tree really slowly and awkwardly and very poor coordination.
It was one of those
like,
people.
Oh, my God. It was like, but at first I think I thought, because I was so high, that maybe, like, Murder Santa Claus was coming down the tree to get us.
Murder Claus. Good old Murder Claus.
Murder Claus.
My favorite thing about going to the cabin in the summer is when we sit outside and we're super, super high and half drunk, and you start pointing out noises that are happening or people walking down the road outside the cabin, and you're like, they're coming to murder you. And it's just like, fuck you. Why do you do that?
Why do I do that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's enjoyable, though. Don't get me wrong. I love that.
I do it because I know there's a part of you that thinks, you know, at the back of your mind, those could be bad people. You have that seed of doubt. But you mainly believe you're perfectly fine. And I capitalize. I like to capitalize on that thought that I know it's there. Because I know you're going to react and be like, you idiot. And I'll just laugh. I also know you have that fear there. So I try to pull it out to make you not worry about it. To also acknowledge, I thought of it too. But don't worry, we're going to be fine. It's like a weird way of saying that. Asshole way, maybe, but I don't know.
The last time that we did mushrooms at the cabin, and then it was like a ridiculous thunder and lightning storm, and the wind was whipping around, and we walked down to the beach, and it was pitch black, and we couldn't see anything. And then we saw these two people just walk up to the beach ahead of us, and it was just flashing lightning constantly, and you're like, those are serial killers. They're going to dump a body.
Oh, yeah, but I might have actually believed that in that moment.
It's true.
I start believing my own madness when I'm in that state of mind. I've gone too far.
Gone too far. John too far.
Well, this is the segment we call Probably Gonna End Now. No.
Yeah.
Welcome to It's Probably Gonna End Now.
This is the wrap-up segment.
Thanks for sticking with us all the way to this part. But I bet you probably didn't. I think most people probably stopped listening within, like, what? Maybe, like, halfway, and then they like, hey, that was all right, and then but they probably have other things to listen to and never get any further.
If a podcast is under 40 minutes, I'll always listen to all of it.
If you get this far, tweet us the word
palapa.
Holy crap. No, I don't.
I'm sorry. Holy. Silicon Valley, the way TJ Miller says palapa.
Oh, yeah, just tweet us TJ Miller.
Yeah, I keep having erotic dreams about him, and it's just, why?
Well, after that article today, who isn't gonna have erotic dreams about him?
The title of this podcast is Erotic Dreams About TJ Miller.
No, by the time anyone ever hears this, it won't even make sense to them.
What? I'll edit it tomorrow.
This will be the last part of it. Even TJ Miller has erotic dreams about TJ Miller. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for listening. This has been Our Honest Life with Church and Mercy. If you'd like to know more about us or have any questions or comments, you can find us on Twitter at OurHonestPod or contact us through email at OurHonestLife@gmail.com. Thanks again.